together. Hymn number 439 in our own hymn books, a well-known hymn of testimony. It says, I have a shepherd, one I love so well. How he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love confide. We'll just keep our seats while we sing, as our sister leads us in the organ, please. Just seek the Lord in a word of prayer, committing our gathering tonight to the Lord and looking to the Lord for his help and blessing and presence to be our portion in a mighty way, even in this prayer meeting tonight. Our gracious God, our eternal Father in heaven, we bow before thee tonight and we realize that thou art God and that beside thee there is none other. realize, O God, that thou art the great God of eternity. Thou art the great I Am. We realize, O God, that thou art a God of mercy, a God of grace. And thou art one who is without sin, without spot. And, O God, we realize, O God, that before thee, that in and of ourselves we have no acceptance, in and through anything of self or of man. But, O God, we thank thee tonight afresh for our Redeemer, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, the one who came into this world to become a propitiation for our sins, to die the just for us the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And Father, we thank thee, O God, tonight for the victory of the cross. We thank thee, O God, that there Christ died for our sins, that he rose again, and that he is alive forevermore. And Father, we thank thee that he is one who intercedes at thy right hand, ever living to intercede for the people of God. And Father, we rejoice, O God, tonight in the value and in the virtue of the precious blood of Christ. We thank thee, O God, for that cleansing that we have in the blood of the Lamb. And we thank thee, O God, that thou art one that pardons our iniquities, not through anything that we have done or can ever do, but through the precious blood of Christ that cleanses from all sin. We thank thee, O God, tonight for the victory of the blood of the Lamb. And we thank thee, Heavenly Father, that our sins, so many, have been forgiven, that they've been cast into the sea of thy forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore, as far as the east is from the west. And Father, we come before thee tonight with joy in our hearts, thanksgiving in our souls for thy so great salvation. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that thou art one that watches over us day by day. We thank the Lord for one that meets our every need, one who loves us with an eternal love, and one who has promised to bring us home to heaven to glory one day. We thank the Lord for that great hope that we have, the hope that is secure through the blood of the Lamb, and that inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for the people of God. Father, we thank thee for thy mercies to us throughout this day already. We thank thee for every temporal mercy. We thank thee, Lord, for thy preserving hand upon our lives and ordering our steps and enabling us, Lord, to gather here tonight in the house of the Lord. Father, we pray that thou would just bless our coming together tonight, O God, we ask. We thank thee for that great promise of Christ when he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And Father, we pray for a real sense of the presence of God in this meeting house tonight. We pray, O Lord, that thou would shut us in with thyself, that thou would bless us around thy precious word. Lord, speak to our hearts afresh tonight through thy precious word. And help us, Lord, to hide thy word, O God, in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. And Father, we pray that thy word would be a blessing, a challenge, and an encouragement to our souls in the ways of the Lord. And do bless us, Lord, in our season of prayer. We know not what to pray for as we ought. We realize the weakness of the flesh. Yet, Lord, we thank thee for the Holy Ghost, the one whom thou hast promised to help us in our infirmity, even in the place of prayer. And Lord, we ask even this night, O God, that thou wilt pour upon us that spirit of prayer and grace and supplication. And Lord, teach us to pray and help us to pray. We thank thee that it is no vain thing to call upon the Lord. We thank thee even for answers to prayer this day already. We rejoice, O God, that thou hast lost none of thine ancient power, that thou art upon the throne tonight, and that none can stay thy hand, O God, or say, what doest thou, Lord? Bless all who have been able to gather tonight. Bless every family and household represented. Remember all those listening in online as well. Whoever they might be, wherever they might be, O God, we pray that thou wilt have a blessing also for them from thy word and from thy truth tonight. Lord, remember any who cannot come because of age and sickness and infirmity. Lord, touch them and strengthen them. Remember, Lord, those who are shielding, grant thy protecting hand upon them. And Lord, those that have suffered loss in recent times, Lord, comfort their hearts by the grace and by the strength of God divine. We thank thee for the meeting tonight out of Tresna. We thank thee for the boys and girls who gather to hear your word. And Lord, bless the meetings as they continue this term, we pray, here and on a Friday night. And those children also, Lord, that would receive the DVDs, we pray,
We pray that thou wilt speak through thy word, that we'll see a move of God amongst the children this term, we pray, that thou wilt see of boys and girls, and that thou wilt bless those who know thee, that thou wilt lead them on with thyself. Remember our land tonight. Pour out thy spirit upon every faithful ambassador of the cross. Remember prayer meetings such as this, and gospel meetings and missions on at this time, and ministry meetings as well, Lord. Wherever the word of God is faithfully proclaimed, we pray that thou wilt bless it, O God, that there will be signs following the preaching of thy word, that thou wilt extend thy kingdom, that thou wilt build thy church, that thou, Lord, will exalt thy name. Do us good now, we pray. Close us in, Lord, with yourself. Take away every distracting thought and care that is not of thee. Shelter our meeting over and around with the precious blood. And in all that is said and done this night, we pray that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be honored and glorified, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's word to the New Testament book of Revelation, the last book of the New Testament. We're turning to Revelation chapter number 5 and beginning our reading at the first verse of that chapter. Revelation chapter 5 and the verse 1, while you're looking that up, we welcome you all in the Lord's great name. It's good to see so many gathered with us here this evening. And we welcome also those that are listening in online as well. And our prayer is the Lord will bless you tonight afresh around God's word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Remember the meetings over the weekend. Pray for them. The children's meeting here on Friday night at 6:30. Youth fellowship at 8 o'clock. And then remember the services on the Lord's Day, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. morning worship, 12 noon, and the evening gospel service at 7. And in the will of the Lord, we'll be long to minister the word of the Lord. Revelation chapter number 5 and the verse number 1. It says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof.' And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. When he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.' And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the 4 beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 14
And our prayer is the Lord will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. The text of Scripture I want us just to focus upon tonight before we get down to prayer and just consists of four words. And you'll find it there really in the early part there of verse number 12 of Revelation chapter 5, where it simply says, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb." Now, this chapter here before us, it speaks to us about a sealed book. You see that in verse 1 of the chapter, it says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written, sealed on the backside, and sealed with seven seals." And that sealed book there reminds us of the authority of God's word, and it also relates to the Savior's glorious inheritance in the saints of God themselves. Yes, we read about a sealed book. We also read in this chapter about a slain lamb. You see that in verse 6 of the chapter. It says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." And there you read in verse 6 of the slain lamb. And that slain lamb is, of course, Christ. It refers to Christ and his sacrifice on the cross to redeem his people unto himself. But then the chapter goes on and it also speaks to us and tells us about a song of praise. And this song, it relates to the praising of Christ in heaven. If you look at verses 8 to 10 of the chapter there, it speaks of 24 elders in heaven. And it says there in verse 8, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." I mentioned there of the 24 elders is symbolic of the saints in heaven, from both the Jewish and the Gentile nations. And then verse number 11 goes on and it speaks of the angels and indeed an innumerable company of saints further singing the praises of Christ. You see that in verse 11 and 12, it says, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and a blessing." It says there, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." And by this very fact here that we read of Christ being praised in heaven, it really shows us that Christ and his work also should ever be praised on earth. Yes, Christ should ever be the theme of praise here on earth for the people of God and for the church of Christ. Again, the very fact here that they sing the praises of Christ, indeed his redeeming work in heaven, it also shows us and teaches us that it is good hymnology here on earth that focuses upon the person and upon the sacrifice, upon the work of Jesus Christ. And my, when a hymn focuses upon Christ and upon the sacrifice of Christ, it is a hymn that is well grounded in the Scriptures and in the truth of God's word. And tonight I want us just to consider this phrase here in verse 12 where it says, "Worthy is the Lamb." Worthy is the Lamb. And my, these words really concern the worthiness of Christ, the worth of Christ, the worthiness of Christ. That's what I want us to think about tonight, the worthiness of Christ, that Christ is worthy. There are four things I want just to set before you regarding this matter. First of all, we can say that Christ is worthy of our trust. He is worthy of our trust. You think of what is said in Acts chapter 16, verse 31. It says there, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And that great gospel verse, it shows us that the Christian life begins by us trusting Christ, receiving Christ by faith to be our Savior.
And then we can say further that our Christian life on earth is to continue as a life of faith. It begins by faith, but it is to continue by faith in the Lord. For the Bible says of the Christian, the just shall live by faith. And child of God, this means you and I trusting, yes, trusting in the Lord, trusting in His word, trusting in His person, trusting in His power, in every circumstance, in every situation of our lives. It says in Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. We are to trust in the Lord. He is worthy of our trust as the people of God. Now, whenever we think of the Apostle Paul and look at his life, we can say, yes, that he was a man who lived the life of faith. His life was marked by trust in the Lord. Turn back there to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. And just look at verse number 25, what Paul says there in verse 25 of Acts chapter 27. There was a great storm. He was on the boat going to Rome, and the sailors feared for their very life. Such was the ferocity of the storm. Yet God gave Paul a message that all on board the ship would be saved. And he relays this message now to the sailors, and it shows his faith in the Lord in this situation. For in verse 25 he says, in Matthew or in Acts 27, he says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And here he testifies to these sailors of his faith in the Lord, his faith in the Lord's word, his faith in the Lord's power to bring them safely through the storm, to bring them safely through to this desired haven. He was a man of faith, a man who trusted in the Lord. Yes, it has rightly been said that faith in God is never out of season. And child of God, yes, we can say tonight the Lord is worthy of our trust. He's worthy not just of our trust, but He is worthy of all our trust. He is worthy, yes, of all our trust. But then in the second place, we can say further tonight that Christ is worthy of our obedience. He's worthy of our obedience. You know, one of the great titles that belongs to Christ in the Scriptures is that of Lord. It says in the book of Philippians, Jesus Christ is Lord. One of the titles that pertain to Christ is that of Lord. And believer, this means that Christ is to be King and Lord of our lives as the people of God. In other words, He is to reign on the throne of our hearts. And that means us obeying the Lord, obeying His word, obeying His commands for our life. Yes, in this respect, we are to be like the children of Israel in the day of Moses. In the day of Joshua, and what did they say about the Lord and His word? They said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. His voice will we obey. And people, whenever we think of the Lord's commands, we must always remember that they're for our good, that they are for our blessing, that they are never for our harm or never for our detriment. Turn back there just a few pages in your Bible to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and look at verse number 3. Look at what John says there about the commandments of God. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, he says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And then notice what he says, and His commandments are not grievous. In other words, they're for our good, for our blessing, for our betterment as the people of God. That is something we should always remember when we think about the commandments of God. They're for our good. They're not grievous. They're not for our harm. And you know, whenever you and I read God's word on a daily basis, we should note God's commands. When we come to a commandment in the Scriptures and that passage, that chapter, whatever that we read in our own daily life, we should note that command. And why we should pray for grace to obey and to live out that command in our lives as the people of God. The hymn writer says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Yes, He is worthy of our obedience. He's worthy of our trust. In third place tonight, we can say further of Christ that He is worthy of our discipleship. Worthy of our discipleship. You remember Christ's words to Peter and to Andrew as he found them on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. He said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And there he was calling them to a life of discipleship, to a life of following the Lord. And what did that mean for them? It meant them surrendering to the Lord's will for their lives. It meant them serving the Lord. It meant them following the very example of the Lord in their lives. And dear child of God, that is what a life of discipleship also means for you and I as the people of God. It means, yes, that our wills are to be yielded to God's will for our lives. Think of what David said in Psalm 40, verse 13. He says, "I delight to do thy will, O my God." It also means that whenever opportunities come our way to serve the Lord, we should seize those opportunities and serve the Lord in whatever way we can and whatever capacity that we can. The psalmist says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." And then when we know the Lord and are seeking to follow the Lord, it means also in the life of discipleship, we're to follow his example in our life. You remember what Peter said of Christ in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. He speaks of Christ and he says of Christ, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. It means, yes, a holy life. It means a life that is marked by good works as the people of God. It means a life, yes, that is willing to bear reproach for Christ and for the cause of Christ. You turn over there in your Bible reading tonight to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. Look with me, please, in the middle there of verse number 4. Look at what it says about the people of God, those who know the Lord. It says, "These are they," it says, which follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth." And that speaks of discipleship. Our life's been surrendered up to God, following the Lamb, wheresoever he leads, wheresoever he guides. Yes, he's worthy of our discipleship, worthy of our obedience, worthy of our trust. One final thought tonight we can say in closing is this, that Christ also is worthy of our love. He's worthy of our love. You think of what Paul says at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and the verse number 13. He says there, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." And there he really tells us that charity and love is the greatest of the Christian graces, of the graces that pertain to the child of God. Therefore, love to Christ should be paramount in our lives as the people of God. Our lives should be marked by love to Christ. Turn with me back to the Psalms, to the book of the Psalms, to the Psalm number 18. Psalm number 18, and just look at the opening verse of that psalm and look at how it begins. Psalm 18, verse 1. Notice what the psalmist says. He says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." And there you see that the Lord was the object of the psalmist's love. He loved the Lord. He says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." And there he really is testifying of a deep heartfelt love for Christ. This just wasn't a casual love. It was something that came from the deepest recess of his heart and being as a child of God. He says there, "I will love thee." In other words, he's saying, "I will love thee with all my heart, with all my soul." This was something deep down in the heart and the life of the psalmist David. Such was his love for Christ. And again, that is how it should be with us also, as the people of God. Yes, Christ is worthy of our love, worthy of our affection. You remember what Jude says to God's people? He says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God," or if you like, love for God. You turn back with me there to the book of Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians and chapter number 3 and the verse number 5. And look at what Paul here really prayed and desired for the people of God in Thessalonica as he writes to them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and the verse number 5, he says, "And the Lord direct your hearts," he says, "into
the love of God. In other words, he was praying, he was exhorting, he was encouraging that their hearts would be focused and full of love for God, love for Christ. That Christ would be the object of their love, the object of their affection. And again, that is how it should be with us as the people of God. Yes, he is worthy of our love. You remember what the Lord said in the book of the Revelation to the church at Ephesus? The church that had many, many good qualities that he commends them for. Yet he says this to the same people. He says, thou hast left thy first love. Thou hast left thy first love. In other words, their love for Christ wasn't as it once was. It had grown cold. It had decreased. It had waned. And that surely reminds us all as God's people that yes, things can happen in our lives, circumstances, things can come in upon us, things from the world, attacks of the evil one, whatever. And these things all can be used to cause our love for Christ to wane. These things can be used to cause our love for Christ to decrease and to grow cold. How important then it is as God's people that we regularly examine ourselves before the Lord and examine our own love for Christ. And if that love for Christ isn't what it once was, that love for Christ isn't what it should be as God's people, and we need to acknowledge that before the Lord. We need to forsake whatever it is that hinders our love for Christ. How we need to pray that the Lord would rekindle afresh within our hearts a fresh love for him and for the things of God. And how we need a fresh glimpse of Christ's love for us at Calvary day by day in our lives as the people of God. That was something in the life of Paul. Turn with me back to Galatians chapter number 2. And as you study the life of Paul, he had many troubles, many heartaches, many ups and downs in the Christian life. But he never lost sight of the love of God and Christ for him. It was always to the fore of his life, to the fore of his ministry. And you see that in the letters that he wrote. Look at Galatians chapter number 2 and the verse number 20. Look at what he says at the end of that verse. He says, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, writing to the church at Corinth, he could say, the love of Christ constraineth us. As I was upon the love of Christ, there was love in his heart for Christ, to Christ, because of Christ's love to him. Again, look at what he says in the latter part there of Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. He says, but God forbid that I should glory, he says, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He kept the cross work ever before him as a believer, as a child of God. And that again was the case with the hymn writer and the desire of the hymn writer, for they said, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Bring its sins before me. They knew that the view of the cross would keep them in love and fellowship with the Lord. Yes, it has rightly been said that a constant view of Christ and the cross and his love for us is that divine medicine that will rekindle our love for Christ. You think of what our text says here tonight. It says, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Heaven, Christ will have all the praise. He'll have all the glory. But here also, dear people of God on earth, he's worthy, yes, of our faith, our obedience, our discipleship, but also worthy of our love. In light of the cross, yes, he's worthy of our love. He's worthy of all that we can give him as the people of God. The hymn writer could say, but drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. They give themselves away to Christ because Christ had given everything for them upon the cross of Calvary. Oh, brethren and sisters in Christ, by the grace of God, may this be our testimony also as the people of God day by day. May the Lord bless his word and write these thoughts upon our hearts, and may they be an encouragement to us as believers in our walk with God and in our service for Christ. We'll just get down to our time of prayer. Just want to leave a few prayer requests with you tonight. Remember the services over the weekend. We pray much for them. Pray for the Bethel Children's Crusade. The meetings recommence this week. The Youth Fellowship as well. Sunday school and Bible class. Pray for God's help and blessing in all these services and all these meetings. Let us pray for the bringing in of new families and young families here to our own congregation. And pray that the Lord would visit these meetings with salvation, that the Lord would save by his grace and power. Do remember also the sick in your prayers, those connected with us who are ill in treatment, and remember Mrs. Vance also in your prayers in hospital, and do also pray for Brother Mr. Gordon Dunn as well, Eileen's brother who's ill at this time. Do remember him in your prayers as well, that he'd know God's strength and God's help. Do remember also our missionaries. Maybe you could remember the Smith family labouring there in Wales. Do pray for them and Murford Tidville, that God's blessing would be upon them. And then remember our land and our nation. There's many needs. Pray for the overturning of these abortion laws and this debate that will be coming up on conversion therapy. Just pray that God would intervene and that it would not be used to hinder the work of God and the witness of the gospel, and in the situation regarding the COVID as well in our land. Let us pray for God's restraining hand upon that at this particular time, that the Lord would intervene in mercy and in grace. But whatever else the Lord lays upon your heart, just a few things to remember. Encourage as many as possible to pray, young and old, men and women alike. As we said, don't let there be any gaps. Pray one with another and one for another, and uphold one another in prayer as we seek the Lord together as a congregation tonight. Maybe ask our brother, the Reverend Power, to lead us.